I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Where's one of you starting something with the lottery on Tuesday? Who knows where they're going to end up? Well, they're probably going to end up with the 14th pick and the 7th pick, something like that. But who knows? Whitey Gleason, Jason Dumas with you on 95.7 The Game. Also sending that Michael Jackson tune out to Captain Clay, because Jason, he was singing a Michael Jackson song on his boat, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Clay has good taste.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, I'm reading that Ethan Strauss book, The Victory Machine. It's an incredible book, and I'm embarrassed that it's taken me this long to read it. But it's funny, talking about Durant, of course, Durant tonight with a Game 7. Ethan Strauss writes a lot about the way things seem to unravel in KD's last year here, and what a complex guy he was. And Ethan Strauss says that one of the things that irritated Kevin Durant when he was here was that Clay, just he could get away with anything. Like if Clay was, you know, late for practice or something, it's like, oh, that's just Clay. And, you know, now, you know, people look at everything on the boat. Oh, he's just so great. And I guess to a degree that on some level it irritated Durant the way everyone looked at Clay and he was just so lovable. And, of course, you know, it kind of bothered him that the way fans loved Steph. But, Kevin Durant's just, he's looking for something. I'm not sure what. Maybe he's going to take a big step towards finding it tonight if they're able to advance.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ethan Strauss. Him and remember when Kevin Durant kind of called him out? That was interesting. I remember I was there. Like, but yeah, it was KD's whole last. It was super awkward. Like, you know, that was my first year on the Warriors beat that last year, and I felt like I never got to know KD. I try to get to know these guys who I cover them fairly, of course. And KD was he was super closed off. And I don't necessarily even blame him considering everything that was going on. He probably knew he wasn't coming back. It was a lot going on, but I wish I got to cover him in a different light, but I really didn't. Like, I covered KD for a full year and I can honestly say I don't even know the guy at all.
Yeah, we mentioned that today's the anniversary, as a lot of Warrior fans realize, anniversary of Game 7, 2016. Of course, the Warriors lost that game to the Cavs, and then they ended up signing Kevin Durant. And reading this book and thinking about Kevin Durant's time here, you know, that 2019 season, there were a lot of indications that he was going to be leaving. And sometimes I wonder if he had already made up his mind to leave, which was his right, but maybe on some level he realized, you know, this is a pretty good situation that I'm leaving. And so maybe he was inventing reasons not to be happy here on some subconscious level. So Clay irritated him, and fans chanting MVP for Steph irritated him. And he got so irritated with Steve Kerr. I don't know, maybe on some level he felt like he had to create reasons to leave. Of course he didn't. But now that he's gone, I mean, yeah, Warrior fans should be encouraged, right? You look at Clay coming off the injury, and look how well Kevin Durant has played coming off of his injury. He's been amazing.
Oh, yeah, he's been great. I tweeted just the other day, and this is the only thing that I've noticed. He's still maybe the best player on the planet right now. Like, anyone who tells me that, I wouldn't call them dumb. But I think the injury has impacted like his second and third step. There's a lot of plays where I see old KD, he's taking that to the rim and he's dunking it or finishing at the rim, and it's a pull-up jumper now. Mm-hmm. But he's still so good. But like I said about Clay, like, that's never been his game. Clay's not attacking the rim, dunking on people. You know he can dunk and you know he can score at the rim, but he's 2-3 dribble pull-ups. It's methodical and it's like art. So I don't think, like, you know, aside from just impacting the whole body as any injury does, I don't think his game, I think Klay's game is still going to be fine because he's never been the above the rim, hyper athletic guy. He's going to get to his spots, rise above you and shoot it and drain a J in your face.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think that's reasonable. It's just a matter of what he can do at the other end. Because as I said earlier, I think that's really what has transcended him. Or made him a transcendent player is what he's able to do at the defensive end. So fingers crossed on that. We were just comparing, in some ways, Ben Simmons to Draymond Green on the text line here, 888-957-9570, Greg in SF. Always appreciate his views. He says, I'm not too high on Simmons. However, he could certainly manage the PE coach passes to Curry that Green has long enjoyed. Moreover, Simmons brings a level of self-creative, offensive skills and true playmaking that the overrated Green has never had. So Greg,
Greg is not a fan of Dre.
Not a big Draymond Green fan. I think you're giving him a little bit of short shrift there in terms of the passes that he throws. You're right. I mean, if he throws it to Steph and he nails a three, anybody could do that. But I think he has a knack for knowing where to get the ball to Steph when he's open. And a year ago, I'd have agreed with you. But Ben Simmons right now is like almost damaged goods. I hope he's able to fix that between now and tomorrow's Game 7. But kind of scary right now would it be to commit to Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't even know what Ben Simmons' trade value is right now. You know, because he's doing this on such a big stage. Like, his struggles in the past couple postseasons have kind of gone unnoticed because the Sixers hadn't gone that far. Like, last year he didn't play in the playoffs because he got hurt in the Sixers.
Well, it wasn't clear, right? It wasn't clear whose fault it was. It was like, something's not right.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this year it's like, oh, he's the problem.
And it's like, oh, wow. Like, yeah. Holy crap, like it's glaring now. It is glaring. So I don't know what he's done to his trade value. I just don't. And I don't know. Like the Warriors, I do think he's better than Draymond probably. Like in terms of like a trade, I'd trade Draymond for Ben if like it was just a one-on-one straight up. I probably would, despite everything you're seeing now. But to your point, like the rapport and the intangibles that Draymond brings and the relationship he has with Steph, when you factor that in, I can see why you wouldn't trade him for Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? Like, that's key. Like, it seems to me, from the outside looking in, it seems like Steph wants to play with Draymond Green. Like, that's his guy. So why mess with that? You only mess with that if you're going to get yourself someone really good.
I wouldn't blame anyone for kind of rolling their eyes at what I'm about to say because it is a little soft, a little fuzzy. but I do think there's something to be said on a great team in any sport for chemistry. And I think culture. And I mean culture in the sense that when you have everybody more or less on the same page, everyone benefits. And I think we've seen that with the Warriors, and I think if you did part company with Draymond, even if it's to bring in a player as talented as Simmons, I think you risk losing some of those intangibles, which I think are really important to what the Warriors have done and what they still could do. Obviously, that's very difficult to define, but seeing what I see, that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Culture, chemistry, all of that comes, you know, it's team building, you know, like talent is the most important thing, but it's not the only thing. And with Draymond, he is the Warriors culture. He has so much chemistry with the key guys on your team. These guys grew up together. Draymond, Steph, and Klay grew up together. There's something to be said about that, you know? Like, they came in as young pups, and now they are big, bad Doberman Pinschers, or whatever is your favorite dog breed. And they won together, blood, sweat, and tears. That matters. And the brand that has come to known today as the Warriors, it's mostly Steph, but Draymond is a part of that. And you don't just give up on that unless you're getting something back that you think is worthwhile. I get 100% get your point, and it's super valid.
Kurt from Napa I am absolutely out on Ben Simmons. He is flat, can't shoot at all, and is unwilling to learn or grow as a player, dead space on the court. That's the way he's looked for too much of this series.
I agree, Kurt.
Yeah, yeah. He's just so talented. I'm hoping that he's able to find it again as soon as tonight, because it's kind of sad to see a Gill back from the 408. Until players like Simmons, Giannis develop a reliable jump shot, will never lead a team to the finals. Hashtag put in the work. Yeah, it's psychological too. You can so clearly see it. You know, Giannis at the foul line, and these are great players, especially Giannis. And then Ben Simmons, you can at the foul line. It's like, oh my goodness, it's almost like the yips or something.
You're not
it's
that like guy, pal. Trust me.
Guy can't make a putt, or you know that weird thing that baseball players get sometimes when they can't throw the ball across the diamond.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, basketball is all about confidence. I played basketball. Like, if you're not confident and you're overthinking, you're already lost.
We already established you broke LeBron James' yes. Ohio high school scoring record,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Coach K came to my gym and offered me a scholarship, you know? Yeah. So,
sure. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be like, Ben Simmons' confidence is completely gone. And, oh, man, I can't even imagine what's going to happen if they lose tomorrow. Philadelphia, mm-hmm. He might as well pack his apartment, go chase this, you know, go be a socialite, because that's kind of what he is. I'm always seeing him pictures out with the Jenners and you know all the, yeah. You know, like if the Sixers lose tonight, he might as well pack his bags in his condo in downtown Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, that would I think I agree with Dan Devone, who says Philly's still going to win this, and I think he has Philly going further, much further. But so I still think Philly wins tomorrow, but if they don't, I mean, that's really going to reflect poorly on Doc. I'm a Rivers fan, and I guess the dynamics of why some people aren't. I think he's a good coach. I think he's done a really good job bringing that thing together this year in Philly in a way that I didn't think he could. But obviously, if they end up losing after they've blown an 18 and a 26-point lead, well, they probably wouldn't get rid of him because Embiid was hurt, so extenuating circumstances. But my goodness, what a black mark that would be on Doc's resume if they get knocked out by the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And Doc's already getting dinged because of his past failures with the Clippers. It would not be a good look. I mean, Doc's safe. He's not going anywhere. He's on a 4-year deal. But, yeah, I mean, it would be – it's indefensible, you know, because mm-hmm. they're so much better than the Hawks. You know, like, on paper and when you just look. Like, I mean, they blew an 18-point lead and then followed it up by blowing a 26-point
yeah.
lead. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you can't do that. Ugh, that's right. That's tough.
By the way, speaking of Draymond, and it's Whitey and Jason here at 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Thank you for listening. Draymond Green and Damian Lillard are both going to be competing for Team USA in the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. And we also found out, I believe it was it yesterday, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker are going to be on the Olympic team. So I know there was some question there. You know, with players, so many injuries and some of the veterans, and weren't sure why, you know, LeBron's not going to want to play. Steph Curry, is he going to want to play? Maybe not. How good is this team going to be? But team is shaping up, Jason. Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, and Draymond Green. I think we're going to have, thank goodness, a pretty good Olympic team. Although, if I'm a member of the Warriors, I would have just as soon Draymond not go. But, you know, bless him. He wants to do it. That's fine. That's his right. I wish he'd get some rest. But good for Draymond.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun team. You know, I think Steph is going to opt out. I don't think he's going to end up playing. I know he's mentioned in the past winning a gold medal is kind of
right.
is on his list, and it's really the only thing in his career that he's never accomplished. But I don't see it. You know, it's a lot. That's a lot to commit to right now. I know Tokyo isn't like with the whole COVID protocols. It's, you know, they're not on par with us right now. And, you know, it's a lot of family time you're missing. It's just a lot on your body. I don't see Steph playing, but I do think this team is really talented. And it's kind of the new guard. Guys like, you know, Tatum, like Tatum's like going to be one of the future faces of the NBA. We're going to see a lot of the young guys play. And I think Dre is the perfect intangible guy for that roster. And, hey, you know, maybe Draymond can do some recruiting. You know, That's what LeBron admitted. Yeah. He came out and said, you know, me, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, we got to talking when we were playing for Team USA, and look what came to fruition. So, you know, maybe Draymond can do some recruiting. I don't know who he'll recruit or what he'll do, but, you know, I think it'll be good for him to play. I really do.
Mm-hmm. It's probably good for him on some level to do something where it's just him, and he's not there with Steph and Clay. It's like, hey, it's Draymond Green. Established his own identity a little bit. So,
right.
Anyway, good for him. I'd just as soon he get rest, you know, from the Warriors standpoint. On the other hand, if he's going to do some wink-wink recruiting, okay. I think I could be okay with that, Jason. That's a good point you make. Now, what do you make of what's going on here in the NBA here with, you know, Luka is unhappy. So now Rick Carlisle's no longer the coach in Dallas. Appears to be some connection there. Rick Carlisle, by the way, you know that if the Bucks are bounced, you know who's going to be the next coach of the Bucks, right? If they let go of Budenholzer, you know if Rick Carlisle's available, he's going to be next. And Zion Williamson's family, according to reports, wants him out of New Orleans. And Stan Van Gundy let go. By the way, Stan Van Gundy, you know, when the Warriors hired Steve Kerr, they were really interested in Stan Van Gundy, but they couldn't compete with the Pistons' offer because the Pistons said you could be the coach and the GM. So he's like, all right, see you later, Warriors. I'm going to the Pistons, which was a real break for the Warriors, right?
Yeah, 100%. And 100%. I mean, and to your Zion, I'm a Zion Williamson fan, but come on, man. You've been in the league 5 minutes and you're demanding
Thank
trades.
Thank you.
What's going on? Like,
yeah.
And you weren't even healthy for your first year. Now your second year, you guys are only like 4 or 5 games out of the playoffs. It's not like you're awful and you're making demands. Like, I'm all for player empowerment, but that's not a good look to me.
Right, and Luka hadn't been there much longer than Zion's been with New Orleans. And in all fairness, Zion, this is a little murky. It's not, he isn't making demands, but it's coming out that his family wants him out of New Orleans. And he's under club control for
4 more years at least.
Yeah, let's see. He'll be under club control for the next 3 seasons. Will almost certainly be offered a maximum salary rookie scale extension next summer. So my goodness. Yeah, it's a great point you raise. I thought the same thing, and I agree with you. I'm in favor of player empowerment. I mean, if I were an NBA player, which is really hard to imagine, but if I were, yeah. I mean, I don't blame superstars for exerting their influence here. I don't blame Steph for doing it here, and that's just the nature of it. I think the lesson, and maybe this is an oversimplification, Jason, but I think if I were involved in an NBA front office, I would say, look, you know what? We just have to be super, super careful about who we hitch our wagon to. So it's not just a matter of, wow, we've got this transcendent player that's available, because players do get to a point where they wield so much authority and power. And if we're a shaky franchise, I just think you got to really do your due diligence. Now, maybe it's not a matter of that. It's like, look, if you have a guy like Zion available, you've got to take him, period, and then you deal with it. But I would think, you know, the Warriors are so lucky that they got a guy like Steph, who clearly has shown that he wants to win and he has some interest in what's best for the franchise, right? So they're fortunate. So I think maybe that's the lesson here, is like, you just got to be really careful about who you make your franchise player.
Yeah, 100%. And like, so Luka's another transcendent player. But like you said, like Dirk played in that organization 20 years. You never heard a peep. Luka comes in, and now all of a sudden, people getting fired left and right. He's questioning. Rick Carlisle's never had issues with players, from not to my knowledge. So it's like, these, I don't know, man. It's like, the guys are divas, you know? And I'm all, like you said, I'm pro player. I'm almost, whenever you see tension between a front office and a player, I'm 9 times out of 10 leaning with the player. But these two instances, it caused me to like raise my eyebrows. Imagine if Steph pulled a Zion and 2 years into his stint. So here's the difference between Steph and Zion. Things are going crazy in Golden State. And Steph sends out that tweet that we all remember. If it's the last thing I do, we're going to figure this out, Dub Nation. Mm-hmm. I know you remember that tweet. It's going viral. Now everybody talks about it since he's won titles.
But that's what he did. Like, he wasn't like, no, I want to leave. Like, I want out. You know, sending messages through Dell and Seidel. Nah, he came and said, look, we're going to figure this out. Now, I'm not saying that Zion has to stay in New Orleans the rest of his career. But, dude, you've been in the league 2 years. One of the years you were really hurt. Come on. Try to figure it out with this team. It's not like you're – New Orleans is a cool city, too. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And that's the difference between a guy like Zion and a guy like Steph, it appears. And I have no reason but to believe it's true, because if it wasn't true, Zion can easily shut it all down by saying, hey, like, my maybe my dad doesn't want me here, but I'm my own man. He's not saying nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that speaks volumes. Some best thing to say is nothing at all, and he's not saying anything.
That's part of what bothers me about this, is that it is, wait a minute, okay, so it's not him, but it's his family? Okay, when clearly, all right, this is his agent trying to let everyone know without it being directly Zion's responsibility that he's unhappy there. According to report here, the team, I'm talking about Zion and the Pelicans, has already made changes to accommodate Zion, reworking its support staff during the offseason. In all fairness to Zion, New Orleans is a wonderful city, but the organization is not necessarily the
greatest kind of a mess. It's kind of a
organization.
Mess.
Yeah. So when we compare, you know, him to Steph's situation, maybe that's not a fair comparison to make, and maybe he's got some legitimate gripes. But it does seem like I was a little surprised, as you said. He just got there. So that to me is what really may send shockwaves through the NBA. Player empowerment, you understand it, but a guy who just got there, if his family is going to express this, that they want him out, I mean, that's really potentially an issue for the league going forward. And I don't know how in the world you address it.
No. Yeah. I mean, you can't police people's families. You know, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, the Pelicans have all the control in this situation. He's young. Someone on the text line, 925, Zion for Wiseman and 2 first round picks. That the Pelicans would hang up the phone so fast.
They're not even answering. Yeah, like, it's the Warriors. Oh yeah, it's that 925 text trade proposal. Nah, don't even answer that. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I don't think he's going anywhere. It'll be interesting to see who they hire. I'm sure he'll be very influential on their next coach.
They'll
see. But they're not that far. Like, you know, they have Zion and they have Brandon Ingram. That's a good foundation to build on. Just get the right pieces. You're not that far away.
Yeah, they're definitely lacking something. The last 2 years, and I think you made the point, you know, this year they were close. They were in the play-in scenario for a while, but push comes to shove. There's no there. And maybe some of it has to do with, as we were just discussing, culture. What do they stand for as an organization? They haven't stood for anything much, and maybe that's part of Zion's gripe here. 888-957-9570. If you're the Pelicans, I guess all you can do is really, all right, what do you need? Right? I mean, well, Zion, what's going to make you happy? You're going to be here for a few years. We're not trading you. So what's it going to take? Yeah, interesting. That's just the nature of the NBA now. Coming up next, as we discussed earlier, it was on this date, 2019 Game 7. The 73-win Warriors came up just short, losing Game 7 of the finals. If the Warriors had won, how would basketball history be different? That's up next year. Whitey Gleason, Jason Dumas with you on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
People on the text line, 888-957-9570, leaping to the defense of Zion Williamson. It's Whitey Gleason, Jason Dumas with you on 95.7 The Game. And yes, Zion Williamson, reportedly his family wants him out of New Orleans. And Jason and I were saying, that's a little early in his time there to be flexing his empowerment muscles. That said, on the text line, Jason from the 510, think if you was a franchise player and you have three coaches in 3 years, if you had three bosses in 3 years, how would you feel? All right. That's a fair point. Zucci Main says,
my check's still clearing.
Yeah. Zucci Main says, just look at Drew Brees and what happens when you can be patient and turn an organization around in New Orleans. He owns the city now. Yeah, but you know, the Saints with Peyton, I think, same ownership group essentially, but I think the Saints, a much stronger organization.
That's a football
and
town.
More culture. Yeah. I mean, New Orleans, the Pelicans, it's a pretty crazy franchise. I'm not even sure they really need to have a team in New Orleans. I'm glad they do, but it's not nearly as rock solid as the Saints have been.
I think he stinks.
Yeah, I mean, people probably care about LSU football more than the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. I lived down in Baton Rouge for about 2 years. The Pelicans are low on the totem pole. They just are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got some basic essential things they need to figure out in terms of what are we about as a franchise here? And if it's just going to be about, well, what do you want us to do this year, Zion? Obviously, the Stan Van Gundy experiment, that's unfortunate, didn't work. They need to bring in somebody there. And I think, you know, Griffin, I think, is a good executive. I thought he was going to have a handle on things there. He did a good job when he went there from Cleveland. But obviously, they're still trying to figure out a few things there. So appreciate the feedback here, 888-957-9570. Before we get back to how basketball history would be different had the Warriors won Game 7 on this date in 2016, I apologize. I wanted to see, Jason, what you thought of this list. Remember Jamal Crawford?
Yeah.
Yeah, great shooter. Mm-hmm. Jamal Crawford apparently was just on a podcast, well, I guess it was last month. He was on the Rex Chapman Show. And he was asked to name, Jamal Crawford, asked to name the filthiest guys he ever played with or against. And first of all, can you just tell us, in your opinion, what does that mean, who the filthiest players? What do you think we're talking about here?
When I hear filthy, I mean, I guess good, right? You know, not the literal sense filthy, like...
Right.
Like the,
be a dog.
Like the dirty animals.
Yeah.
Filthy. I just be the good, just filthy. He's so good.
Yeah, almost obscenely good, right? Obscenely skilled.
Right.
Just, yeah. So this is what Jamal Crawford had to say. He said, I'm going to give you, first name out of his mouth, I'm going to give you Steph Curry. Steph Curry is filthy. Remember this, Jamal Crawford, a three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year. Then he said, Kyrie is filthy. KD is filthy.
And then he went, you know who I am.
I do know who you are. Then he went old school. He went Kobe and Michael Jordan. He said Kobe, Michael Jordan are filthy. You know what? This is something like, who cares? But as I read it, it just really resonated with me for some reason. Part of it is because I always admired Jamal Crawford, the way he could shoot. You know, he played for a long time. But just that list, that's a cool list, isn't it? Steph Curry, Kyrie, KD, Kobe and Michael Jordan. And, yeah, whatever filthy means, I can't disagree with that at all. That's one of the great lists I've seen from a former player.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, like, those dudes are all so skilled. It's like, you know, like, I love LeBron James, but – and I would put LeBron James above Kobe in just, like, in the rankings by history. But Kobe is just so much – more skilled. Like, when you just look at what he can do on offense, the footwork, the moves, and it's the same thing like with Kyrie. The angles that man is able to put the basketball off the backboard and hit these layups and put ball spin, it's mind-blowing. And same thing with Steph, the moves he can do and then where he can shoot from, it's filthy, just like the list says.
Yes.
Yeah. The one area in which I'd quibble here, to me, part of being filthy is just being so hyper-focused on winning, being uniquely skilled, but also having that hyper-focus on winning. And I don't know if I would put Kyrie on there. And I agree with you. Everything you just said about when he's on, the things he does with a basketball are amazing. But I don't think in terms of the will to win, I don't think he's proven that he's anywhere near Curry, Durant, Kobe, or Michael Jordan.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's I mean, Kyrie, whether it's fair or unfair, I mean, before LeBron, Kyrie was a career loser. And I say loser in the literal sense, losing games, not figuratively. You know, LeBron left. They were terrible. And then when it came, Boston, Kyrie failed. When it comes to a wins-losses standpoint, Kyrie failed. That team almost was as successful or more successful while he was hurt. Then he came back and they couldn't get over the hump. So, I agree with you. Kyrie's not from a skilled standpoint, Kyrie's, he can be in the room. But just when you all-encompassing, Kyrie is not in the same room as mm-hmm. a Kobe or as a Steph Curry. He's just not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know a fraction of what Jamal Crawford knows about basketball, but to me, if Steph is filthy and KD and Kobe and Michael Jordan are filthy, then Kyrie is like, he's pretty dirty, but he's not filthy. He's pretty dirty, but I can't say he's anywhere near as filthy as those guys. It's Whitey and Jason here on 95.7 The Game, heading down the home stretch, and it was on this date, 2016, Game 7, Cleveland 93, Golden State 89. The Warriors, after winning 73 games, came up just short. And we've been talking about this since the beginning of the show here and there. How different would basketball history be if the Warriors had won that game? Some interesting thoughts on the text line, Jason, from the 415. Yes, I would trade 73 wins with a championship for not getting KD, because repeat and three-peat champs have been done before. Gil comes back and says, sadly, even if we win multiple times in the coming years, it will never take the sting away on how we lost in 2016. Yeah, there's something to be said for finishing the deal, right? 73 wins. No one had ever done that before, but it just seemed hollow without the championship to follow.
Yeah. I can get down with that. Like, I watched the game. I had completely no emotional attachment. I just watched it from a straight entertainment standpoint, but I couldn't imagine the dagger to the heart if I was a Warriors fan. Like when Kyrie hit that jumper, that's when you knew it. That's when you knew the Warriors mm-hmm. were going to lose.
That was filthy. When he made that shot, mm-hmm. no question, that was filthy, Jason.
Even though it was still only a 3-point game, you just kind of knew. You just kind of knew the Warriors were going to lose once Kyrie hit that shot. And, it stings because the Warriors were up 3-1. How did they blow that? I know Draymond got suspended, but to blow a 3-1 lead in the finals, that's a tough pill. It's a tough mm-hmm. pill. I mean, you were here, Whitey. Like, what was the mood like in the Bay Area over the next, like, so I'll put it in perspective. Like, when the Eagles lose in Philly on a Sunday, everyone that Monday, it's like you would think they found their dog drowning in a pool, you know?
Yeah.
What was the mood like in the Bay Area after that happened for the next couple of days?
Well, full disclosure, I was actually up in Sacramento at the time, but at that point, you have a lot of Warrior fans up there too. So we're talking all of Northern California.
Right.
What I'll remember is, and I think I had picked, the Warriors gonna win this in five. And, they were those first four games, it was clear that the Cavaliers didn't belong on the floor with them. But then you had, after it was 3-1, I remember watching the press conference after that game that the Warriors wanted to go up 3-1. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, this thing's done. And I remember hearing LeBron say something about, I don't know what Draymond did. I don't know if they're going to take action or not. And I remember looking, I go, wait, what did he say? Because I wasn't really aware of it happening during the game. I was like, wait, what? Oh, that doesn't sound right. So, it was stunning. But I think it was more stunning, to your point, and to really answer your question, I still think there was a thought that, well, they're going to take care of it. Yeah, and okay, now it's 3-2. And all right, we're going to a game seven, but it's game seven at home. They're going to take care of business. They're just too good after the year they've had. And then, you know, Kyrie hits the shot, LeBron with the block. You had Steph, who wasn't 100% after tweaking his knee in Houston or whatever happened. Bogut got hurt. I know I've mentioned this before, and people on the text line say, that's ridiculous, but I believe, was it Channing Frye said, you know what really hurt the Warriors more than Draymond getting suspended was Bogut getting injured.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it really seemed, even up until, you know, the fourth quarter, it's like the Warriors are going to win this, and they're going to put the finishing touches on the greatest season in basketball history. So I can understand why Gil and so many people, and you're sitting there until the final seconds of the game thinking, this is it, the coronation, the greatest team ever. Wait, what? They're not? So even though they got KD and won a couple more, there's always kind of that empty spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and we brought up this point earlier in the show, just it's crazy how much that loss impacted the future of the NBA. Because without that loss, KD doesn't come here. He just mm-hmm. doesn't. And then that it's just the whole future of the league changed with that one game. And you know, it's I remember when I thought that was an iffy suspension, but with Draymond, it was kind of it was accumulation of things. Correct?
Right.
It wasn't just that one play.
He kicked Steven Adams in the Kiwis a time or two too. You remember? So it's like I think the league. Yeah, but I also think the league. I don't know. The league being what they are, and you know, and wait, we could suspend Draymond, and then we're gonna have a better chance of getting a game seven. Who knows? I have no real grounds to say that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the reasoning as well.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point, but. You know, after that, they went to the Hamptons and they recruited Mr. Durant, and then he came. And I just remember, I'll be honest, you know, as a Warriors fan, I'm sure everybody loved it. But I'm sitting in D.C., and I'm like, man, that's cheating. How did they get Kevin Durant? That's cheating.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that was my perspective. I was like, I can't believe they went and they got Durant. How? They're never going to lose again. And they pretty much didn't.
Don't you think that in some ways the Warriors as an organization, I've made this point before, and through no fault of their own, and it's not KD's fault because he did, you know, he exercised his rights, but in some ways the Warriors are still trying to recover from his departure. Right?
Oh, yeah,
you understand
yeah.
it? Yeah, but it's like that's tough to replace a guy as filthy as KD is.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Warriors expected him to leave. I mean, at the end, I think the tea leaves were on the wall. You could read the tea leaves. But, like, when it started, you probably thought, okay, KD's going to end his career here. You know, KD, Steph, and Clay, like, that's going to be a trio until they hang him up. But it just didn't work out. KD didn't really fit in with the Warriors culture. You know, there was that very, very, very public argument with Draymond Green that was one of those, we might forgive each other, but I'll never forget that. I'll never forget what you said to me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was downhill from there. Honestly, if the Warriors were smart, and people might get mad at this, if the Warriors were smart, from a basketball standpoint, they trade Draymond Green a week after that altercation. They tell, they show KD, you're appreciated. We won a lot with Draymond Green, but that wasn't acceptable. And you are our priority. We're trading him. I think that would have gone a long way. But I mean, like I said, it is what it is at this point. But I mean, what do you think? Like, I think that's really when Kevin Durant decided he's not coming back. That argument.
That's what I was on last night with Dan Devone, and he said the same thing you said. And I know a lot of people feel that way. I could be wrong. My guess is that KD didn't leave because Draymond said that. My feeling is that Draymond said that because they all already knew that he was leaving. Right. I don't know, and maybe they don't even, you know, it's possible they don't even know. Maybe Durant's like, I'm not sure, but I really think that Draymond lost it and went off that way because I think the whole organization, at least the players, I think they felt like, man, he's holding our whole season hostage. He's leaving, isn't he? And I think they were very frustrated by that. So who knows? I think they knew. You could see that KD just wasn't bought in anymore. It was unfortunate. I think Steve Kerr, the fact that throughout that whole season, he framed it as, hey, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be together. I think there were indications that the Warriors, at least the basketball people, really had a strong feeling like he's probably going to go. So who knows? That certainly didn't help. And isn't it curious now that apparently they're really good friends? And it was funny a couple months ago when Draymond and KD tried to explain that, and they tried to say, oh, it was no big deal. Look, I'm glad you're over it, but it was a huge deal. We all know it was a huge deal because we all saw it.
100%. Yeah. They can't fake that. You know, we saw it. They weren't playing. It wasn't like a, you know, sometimes people argue and yell at each other during the heat of competition. It wasn't that. There was something behind that. That was build up. You could tell. I mean, they suspended Draymond for it. If I'm correct.
And he talked about that, and he had a meeting, and he went, I guess, because he wouldn't apologize, and I don't know that that made things any better, but it was, yeah, the Warriors trying to, look, we got to maximize our chances of keeping KD, and I think he probably was already gone. We may never know the answer, though. On the text line here, 888-957-9570 from the 925, and yeah, today is the anniversary, 2016, that Game 7, Cavaliers winning Game 7, 93-89. And it was LeBron. Years from now, we will forget the loss of 2016 as much as it hurt, but that 73-9 record will stand for a long, long time. Okay, that's cool. To me, it just doesn't mean as much. The previous teams that had won the most games before that, the Lakers had won 69 games in 72, I think it was, and they won the championship. And then before that, a Wilt Chamberlain team in, what, 67 had won like 67 games, and they won the championship. So you're right, 73 wins is 73 wins. But to me, Jason, the fact that they weren't able to finish the deal, it's just not the same.
Oh, yeah, no. It gives me vibes of the 16-0 New England Patriots lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That team was one of the best teams ever. Freaking Tom Brady to Randy Moss. Are you kidding me? But all you remember is Eli Manning and David Tyree, that crazy catch. You know?
Yeah.
Those are the things you remember, which is unfortunate because that Golden State team was so good. They were so good. That year Steph had was one of the best years in basketball history.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't win it. It's a tough pill. It is.
Yeah. From the 415, you know, Greg in San Francisco, we mentioned Greg earlier. Greg is not a big Draymond fan. He says the reason the overrated Green got suspended was he kept kicking, punching people in the testicles. It wasn't LeBron rigging the series. And Green actually played in 6 of the 7 games, including game 6 and 7, both losses, with game 7 the last time Green actually made a 3. LOL, Greg in San Francisco. All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate your
Draymond had your a great feedback. Game 7. That was a good game he played. But
yeah,
right, he probably got him in that situation, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't get suspended, they probably win in 5, no?
It sure looked like it was going that way. Who knows? It sure looked like it was headed that way. And then who knows what happens after that? That would have been considered the greatest team of all time. I don't know that you can. The fact that they didn't quite win, I don't know that you can really make that case. But then the teams that they had with Durant, they didn't necessarily put up any of those, you know, numbers that broke records. Yeah, but my goodness, what a great, great team that was.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, but the cookie crumbled the way it did, and the Warriors ended up winning 2 more. So I think fans, you know, I think they'll take that if you had to take anything. Because sometimes you lose in a soul-crushing way, and you never get back. The Warriors got back. They went to 5 straight finals. That's enough success for most fans' lifetime, let alone a 5-year stretch, you know?
Yeah. You know what would bother me if I were in the Warriors front office, and they had an unprecedented run in some ways, but they never won 3 in a row. And I understand they were great, but that would gnaw at me a little bit. And that's just the way it is. You know, they came very close. They didn't quite win three in a row. Speaking of championships, Jason, we kicked this around a little bit last night. I was on with Dan Devone here as we head down the home stretch. If you had $1,000 to wager, you had to wager on which Bay Area team will be the next one to win it all in whatever sport. Which Bay Area team will be the next pro sports to win it all? Which team are you betting on?
I'm running down, putting that $1,000 on the Giants.
The Giants! No!
Whoa!
The Giants!
Wowzers!
See, I would. Dan and I agreed like the 49ers, and who knows? Who knows what the answer is?
But Niner game.
The Giants, huh? You are. Earlier, we started the show, you were saying, gee, I don't know if I should commit to this, if I should believe in this. You're all in.
They have that pedigree. They just have that pedigree that I just trust. I just trust the organization, the brand to do well, you know. Maybe this is subconscious of me because I one day went on that run and the Phillies were on the wrong side of it for a couple of years. I still have nightmares of Cody Ross. Just like the guy turned into Mark McGwire all of a sudden. But
yeah,
I just trust the Giants' pedigree, their brand. I think they just, once they get in a tournament, a playoff setting, they typically always do well. Something about that McCovey Cove, which just comes off of the McCove and comes into the ballpark. I don't know. Maybe it's a lure, but I would guess the Giants. I mean, they have the most wins in baseball right now. Heck, they get in the tournament now, the way some of their number one and number two pitchers are playing and how the bats are moving, and maybe Yastrzemski starts getting rolling again now he's back. Hey, you never know, man. You never know.
Yeah. I don't know. It would surprise me, but they've absolutely stunned us to this point. It's funny. One of the things I noticed when they compare the Giants' start to other best starts in team history, 1993 is up there. It's like, yeah, they didn't actually win anything in 93.
Right.
1978's in there. It's like, yeah, they didn't actually win anything. Of course, now you have the wild card, and it was different then. But I can't wait for next weekend. And I understand. I can relate. I'm, truth be told, probably more of an A's fan than a Giants fan. So I can relate to A's fans that feel, you know, they're like, why are the Giants getting all this attention? Look what the A's are doing. And so the A's actually next weekend have a chance to do something about that. I'm not sure how much it matters to the players. I know it matters to the organization. I know it really matters to the fans. And as you mentioned earlier, we're going to have, you know, the chance to have the stadium full again. I think next weekend is going to be an unforgettable baseball weekend in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be in the building in some capacity. I haven't decided whether it's working or as a fan, but it'll be great. It'll be great. And just more than baseball, it just will symbolize that the Bay Area is back from this pandemic in some token. Obviously, I know people are still recovering financially. People lost their jobs. I don't want to make a light about anything like that.
Sure.
But from a sports perspective and just feeling good, it's going to be great. You got the Oakland fans, you got the San Francisco fans all in one place, full capacity, maskless, let's go. It's going to be great. Just the symbolism and everything, too.
Jason, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun working with you. I appreciate your time very much. First time working with you. I hope it's not the last. I'll be listening to you and Coz tomorrow. Thank you to Evan. Thank you to Sterling. 6 minutes. Great job.
Hell yeah.
I'll be on tomorrow. Yeah, we'll all have a great Father's Day. I'm on with Kyle Madsen after Jason and Coz are on. So thank you for listening. Please enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and thanks for listening to 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.